Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:40 Irish Summer Time. Today is October 20th, and it has been really rather an active day in here. Starting off in Asia, we had reasonably good gains in some of the key markets, such as the Nikkei being up 3.5%, the Hang Seng had a good bounce with 5.25%, and Australia firmed once more around that 4,000 level and was up over 4%. The FTSE also firmed around 4,000, completely different index, same number, and was up around 5.4%. So we had some good gains in a number of key markets. There are still quite a few markets, particularly in Asia, which are relatively weak. We had India cutting interest rates today by a full percent, from cutting from 9% to 8%, which is an emphatic move, considering that the Indian government have been so focused on inflation over the last 18 months or so, and have gradually been letting go. Let's just spend a moment on that. The Indian authorities, they lowered their reserve requirements, I think it was last week, and prior to that, they opened up the or they widened the limits for foreign investment into the country. Now, that's partly in response to the fact that so much foreign investment has been pulled out of the country, and the fact that the rupee has been getting quite weak over the last 2 or 3 months or so in particular, and the rupee is now back to 49 rupees or so. And it is, I think, at a point where the authorities are starting to look at it and wishing that they had a bit of a stronger currency right now. There is the fact that the Nifty and the Sensex are both down just about 50% from their lows. They were a bit steady. They're steadier over the last few days, but certainly nothing on the upside in relation to that interest rate cut. And there, I think, is a sense that they want to see foreign investment flowing back into the country before domestic investors really start getting involved once more, because this has been a lot bigger and a more persistent reaction than we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, and it has damaged the confidence of a number of investors there. However, it has also been a relative performer during the most recent episode of the credit crisis, so is certainly one to keep an eye on as an outperformer when markets do start to turn, or when confidence starts to return. I should be more specific. Looking at the US today, you had the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq all up in excess of 3%, and the Dow and the S&P were up almost well over 4.5%. So that's really quite good action. We saw that markets found support above those October 10th lows on Thursday, and they're rallying from those levels in here. If we get a couple of more good days on the upside, like we saw today, then we will have had a higher low and a higher high, which is the foundation for any uptrend, albeit very short term at present. Is there potential for this market to break downwards once more once this rally, which is correcting the oversold position, runs out of steam? I would have to answer that yes, there is a possibility that markets could make new lows. However, the most important thing that we've seen in markets recently have been those extreme downward accelerations, where we saw a number of markets losing about 20% in a week, some of them in excess of 30% in a week. And that's extremely climactic activity, and it should be good enough to support these markets in the short to medium term at the least. So, if we do see markets running out of steam and edging their way back towards testing those lows, there is potential that they will find support relatively quickly following any breakdown. Now, that is a very big if at the moment, because right now the short-term risks are, I think, to the upside. Over the medium term, I think it's about 50-50. And where markets consolidate once this rally, which has the potential to last up towards Christmas, where this consolidates once it begins to roll over will be a key determinant, I think, in exactly where markets are going to go following this. But as I said, the most important thing that we've had is this massive downward acceleration, which is an ending signal of undetermined duration. Now, looking at some of these other markets, there's an interesting question and comment of the day today relating to the TIPS market. And TIPS had been trading at negative yields back in mid-March, which was a situation I don't think anyone forecast. But since then, as inflation has deserted the system and commodity prices have come off significantly, and now the fears are much more for deflation, TIP yields have accelerated of late. And they're trading at almost, not quite, but almost record thin spreads to treasuries. And as unrealistic as it was for them to trade so wide when inflation was a problem, the rates that they're trading at now are very close to historic lows for this instrument. And certainly deflationary fears are stalking markets at the moment. But the long-term effects of the amount of liquidity that has been added to markets is inflationary. And that means that these TIPS are comparatively cheap at the current values. They may not perform in the same way that they did up towards March going forward as deflation remains in the system. But as inflation picks up once more, there is a good chance that they will outperform treasuries and that those spreads will start to widen once more. So they're certainly an instrument to keep an eye on, both in terms of a potential investment for people who are purely interested in fixed income. Of course, fixed income, I think, is not going to be the best investment out there going forward, and I'm not recommending that anyone have to be overweight in fixed income instruments, or at least in treasuries or any type of treasury. Certainly in some of these high yield instruments, they are trading at remarkable spreads at the moment, and that is certainly unlikely to last. But there are probably going to be safer places to put one's money over the long term. But certainly for those investors, particularly in funds where you have to have a fixed income component, I think there are a lot of opportunities out there right now because we are seeing a lot of instruments trading at record spreads. And certainly there is deflationary risk out there. And with the continued probable over-optimism regarding corporate earnings and the potential for more bankruptcies to filter through maybe next year, we're going to see some of these high-yielding companies go to the wall. However, the majority are more than likely going to stay in business. And at the spreads they're trading at right now, they're practically giving away some of these corporate debts out there. So for people who are in the position that they can bid for these things, they're unlikely to be presented with a buying opportunity where they're going to get such wide spreads anytime in the near future. Certainly we have left behind the period, I think what was defined as the Great Moderation, where we had high growth and low, or the Goldilocks scenario, where we had high growth and low inflation in the early 2000s. And we are in a period where there will probably be a higher number of bankruptcies. That certainly doesn't mean we're going to hit record bankruptcies, but the default risk has certainly risen. Has it risen to the way that some of these bonds are being priced in right now? I think it's extremely unlikely, and there are opportunities in that market beyond the shadow of a doubt. The way we see that treasuries have fallen really quite aggressively over the last 10 days or so, but they did start to find support in here today, and they are looking a little bit oversold. So there is potential for treasuries to rally in here in the very short term, and the 10-year was up over a full point, almost a point and a half in here today. Gold also steadied and finished out the day just below the $800 level. It's at $797. So finding support above that $750 level It is looking a bit ropey in here, and it does have three lower highs. It has been a remarkable relative performer during the most recent part of this credit crisis, and in percentage terms, is not that far off its highs. I think the soundest prediction relating to the gold market is that it's going to be volatile. That we can say without the shadow of a doubt. But it is relatively high in here and probably best bought following corrections, which in a volatile instrument like this, even if they happen on an intraday basis, are practically inevitable. The dollar was also reasonably strong in here, and the dollar index was up a half point today, back up towards 83. So it certainly remains within this reasonably well-defined uptrend, and the most important thing, of course, for the dollar is that it's broken that downtrend we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years, and this is an important juncture. It is very much within a consistent downtrend. It would really need to sustain a move below 80 on the dollar index to impugn the integrity of this nascent uptrend. So the risks remain on the upside there. As with the yen continues, well, the yen has steadied somewhat, or the euro steadied somewhat against the yen recently, but it needs to do significantly more to offset scope for the yen to move a little bit further here. Of course, as the yen and the dollar get stronger, it's an indication that some of these trades continue to be unwound, but as long as they're not surging on the upside, then I think that is not going to cause too much of a problem for markets. The other commodities were also a little bit firmer in here today. And with that, I will leave you for the evening. But thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a good night.